get it, go get it. Turn and run. Turn and run. Turn and run.
The Raheem Morris Show.
Pay attention to this now. Make sure you snap those hands around.
On your home for the Buccaneers. 620 WDAE and US 103.5.
You want to come out and get a kick 180 until you get out of here, okay?
Now here's the head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Raheem Morris, and your host, TJ Reeves.
And we come in on this Monday night after a 31-6 defeat by the New Orleans Saints. We will obviously be talking about that this evening, and we'll also be looking ahead to the next opponent. Game number six is the St. Louis Rams, Sunday 1 o'clock at Raymond James Stadium. This is our weekly visit with head coach Raheem Morris. I wish it was a better circumstance that we were sitting here under, but here we go anyway. By the way, we will be taking your phone calls a little bit later on in the show. But, Coach, good evening. Thank you for doing this. First of all, again, I wish it was a cheerier situation that we were sitting here talking about, but a tough one yesterday.
You know, this is always my couch time with our public, with our fans, and everybody out there. You know, a chance to go talk about the game and reflect on it. You know, but for me, you know, it's a lesson learned. You know, it's a part of our development. It's something that we got to improve on, and those things are out there. You know, we talked about building a team. That's going to be one for us for a long time and establish this longevity. You're going to go through some growing pains. And that was one yesterday, a growing pain. And it was a reflection of what can happen when you're not consistent and on the details. And we just got to go back and improve and get better.
And one thing that we're going to probably bring up once or twice here, the New Orleans Saints are the defending Super Bowl champs. They are what we expected to see yesterday. I mean, they're talented. They're good. So you do have to tip your hat in some ways to what they were able to do.
You sound like Dennis Green over there. They are what we thought they are, but no, they're the defending champions, and we went out there in their place last year and we got a win. And yesterday came down here, and I'm sure they had some, you know, a lot of chip on their shoulder from the last year win that we got against them. They were coming off a loss versus Arizona. A lot of people were questioning where they were as an organization and what they were going to do. I think they only helped in adding to their fire, and they came in here with all guns blazing. And we couldn't defend early. And they got ahead again. And that's always tough sledding when you're playing against a team of that caliber and a team that has that kind of potential to score the way they can or to play defense the way they can.
All right, let's get into that and get into the beginning of this game. You got the football right off the bat and were able to move the football a little bit, got a first down, got things started. Let's talk about the opening drive with your team on offense there as you're able to get a first down with a pass play to Mike Williams. You get the ball out to your 40-yard line, couldn't go any farther, but then ended up getting a pretty good punt out of it in the end result.
You know, you always want to go out, and you want to, especially against a team like New Orleans Saints, try to find ways to limit touches for Drew Brees. So you take the football, you get the ball, you move down, you put together a 9-play drive, you move it down a little bit, you have to punt. You got a brand-new punter. He rocks out there, and he boots the thing, and it lands on the 6-yard line. You got him backed up, and you got Drew Brees, you think, right where you want him to be. Because you know how explosive he can be.
Well, and as an end result, the Saints are able to get out of their own end, out of the 6-yard line, and they did so right away with the run. The first play in particular to Chris Ivory, he runs left, and he's able to get them out of the hole right away.
He actually runs right, and he makes a cut back to our left, and he makes a great play, a dynamic play around our corner. We had a mistake in our fit. We had a mistake in where we should be. I mean, those things can happen, so I'll take full responsibility for that like I did today with my team. My defensive staff, we're young, we're building, we're growing. We know we got to get better up front, we got to get better in the trenches, and we will. And I look forward to accepting that challenge this week.
They moved the ball out of their own end, and they were able to hit Meacham for a completion, able to hit Lance Moore and get the ball around midfield. Then they had a couple of misfires, a false start, a delay of game, and then suddenly a big play happens to Lance Moore down the sideline.
You know, Drew Brees was in pure fashion. He was completing every ball. He was checking out of plays. He was putting the guys where they should be, and that's always the scary Drew Brees when he's able to do that. And then they had the penalties when you should be able to capitalize and you get them in a deep situation. And we have a bust on defense, and he throws a big time touchdown pass right over our head to Lance Moore.
You touched on that with us after the game yesterday. You said specifically that you had checked out of something and that the check didn't get to Aqib Talib. As much as you want to elaborate, what specifically happened there?
Well, for me, you know, I like to take credit for all these type of mistakes. You know, that there's no doubt that I will take credit for this all the time. You know, I always say, you know, if it's something that was checked on the field and we didn't get it because of something, a communication, whether it was a communication breakdown, whether it was amount of reps, whether it was us talking, whatever, I like to take credit for those ones. I had a check call. We checked to a defense that we like to be in versus that empty set. Aqib didn't get the check. He remained in the original huddle call. We didn't communicate it across the secondary. We didn't communicate it from our Mike linebacker to our corner well. And it is what it is. I like to take that, that is what it is. I'll take the responsibility for that.
Well, in that instance, is the check something, because you're the defensive coordinator, where they're all looking at you at once, or are you giving the check to one guy and then he's spreading the word?
No, it's not a sideline type of deal like you get in college right now with the spread offense. Mm-hmm. No, it's a check that's told to your Mike linebacker through the huddle. When they come out in a certain formation, you get the check, and he relays it across the building. Barrett Rue did a great job of signaling it. We didn't do a great job of relaying it across the secondary or from our linebackers to our outside people in order to get that check accomplished. We were able to do it later, but we were not able to do it. So I like to take all the responsibility for those type of plays, and I got no problem doing that with my guys because they're accountable.
All right, so the touchdown there makes the game 7-0. You get the football back. We got to see some of Kareem Huggins on drive number 2. He got a 7-yard gain right away. You pick up a first down. You're able to move the ball out to midfield. You're back underway. Just talk about drive number 2, where you started to make some things happen a little bit.
The offense, man, they had some things going. They were able to move the football. They were able to move down the field a little bit. Josh Freeman starting to get a little bit comfortable. He didn't have his best or most accurate day that he's had as a Buccaneer, but he's really gaining confidence by moving the ball down the field and setting us up in position to either get really good field position or to keep the thing going. So they came out and they moved the ball again, was able to, set up another punt and a ball that hit in a 6 and was able to bounce into the end zone. But you wish you can grab that one and try that one over again as well.
I got the chance. I kind of eavesdropped walking by to the other end of the field, and Josh Freeman had come over to the sideline and said to Mike Williams, "That's on me," on the third down play, where he was trying to find Mike on the sideline, kind of had one-on-one coverage there and just threw it a little bit too far. And he said to him, we'll get him on that again later on in the game. I mean, I'm sure that goes on all the time in the little meetings that go on with the different positions and all over the field. But they were looking at that as a missed opportunity there on third and long right before the punt.
It's really, what the team's becoming. It's a bunch of guys being accountable, as coaches being accountable, as players being accountable. And really, when that happens, you hate to have lessons learned like you had them learned yesterday, but you got to take out of it what it really was. And it was a lesson. We missed some opportunities there on offense, whether it was, Josh missing a throw to Mike Williams, but him being accountable enough to say that to Mike Williams. When he expect Mike Williams to make a play for him, he expect him to catch it. Mike Williams is accountable enough to say to Josh Freeman, "I should make that play." And it's no different from a coach standpoint. If I put something in and I think that was too hard for those guys to get, I can let you guys know with a clear conscience that I'll be accountable for all those type of plays and everything that happens with my guys. And it only helps and resonating what we're trying to build around here. And that's a complete and absolute trust amongst players and coaches and everybody else involved.
All right. Unfortunately, the punt had them pinned in at the 20. They again move it off their own end, mixing the run and the pass, and it eventually ends up with a touchdown pass again from Drew Brees to Robert Meacham, this time down that same right sideline behind Aqib Talib. Again, after the game yesterday, you said to us, do not put that on Aqib Talib, because in that instance, he is playing Tampa 2. Again, elaborate now that you've had a chance to see the tape.
He's a flat defender. He's underneath. You like to see us go over and make the play from the safety standpoint. You like to see maybe an exit angle or – it was a great throw or maybe a better rush to force Drew out of the pocket. There's a couple of things that goes on when you're playing zone defense. And when you got guys QB key ball out break ready with the accurate guy, he's going to complete some balls. You like that one to either be forced away or make the go to enough the progression to go through the check down or something, because we got to give some pressure on him and apply some type of pressure to take some of the edge off the secondary men and not let him complete that ball down the sideline.
While we're on that subject, I know that's been a big debate after the game yesterday and today, being able to get pressure on the quarterback. Again, you evaluated the tape last night and again today. Just give me your thoughts on the inability to get there, because you were not having that kind of success that you need to have. If Brees has time on anybody, he's going to make life miserable.
You got to win with a four-man rush sometimes. And you got to get out there and you got to get those guys to get after the quarterback with a four-man rush. And the New Orleans Saints do a great job of play action pass maxing. They do a great job chipping guys. They're good offense. They do a great job of docking up protections. But you got to go out there and just have an individual effort and win every once in a while. Then when you get to your blitzing concepts and all the things that you want to do, you got to hit them. You got to get to them. You got to make a play. And we weren't able to do that yesterday versus very good New Orleans Saints offense. Excuse me.
Okay, so the game is 14-0 at this stage, but you're early on in the second quarter. Did you have anything in particular to say to the offense? It's still the game plan as usual at this point. Give me what was going on there at that stage.
You know, at this point, you're searching for points. You're searching for life in your football team, and you're searching for these guys to go out there and move the ball and get it going. And in order to either get yourself a field goal like we were able to do last year when we were in the Dome, when we played those guys last year, they went up 14-0 right away. We're able to get three, and that sparks the football team and gives you life and lets you know, hey, we're back in this thing. You know, we're a score away, and we weren't able to do that. And that's kind of the stuff that just kind of went throughout the day and kind of how our day went.
You were able to make some first downs. You again got to midfield. Again, you were forced to punt. But, you know, we saw Josh Freeman against the blitz there some. Just give me, while we're here on this subject, in the first half in particular, how you thought he did handling the blitz, because Greg Williams, their defensive coordinator, was bringing several different types of blitzes over and over again.
Yeah, he was able to come out some all-outs. He did some different things as far as blitzing him and blitzing our protections. Our guys did a great job of picking it all up and kept Freeman off the ground, kept him clean all day. You know, we got the one sack at the end of the game that we got from Josh when he could have threw the ball away and he was trying to make a play there. But for the most part, protection-wise, it was a great day, both by Josh and his offensive line and his running backs, and particularly Cadillac standing back there blocking people and making big plays on third down for us. And they did a nice job of that. We missed some throws. We missed some plays. And on defense, we had some blown opportunities, and we got to stop the run. But the game played up front in the trenches. And we got to play the game better in those areas.
Actually, they got the field goal right after that to make the game 17-0. It was the following drive that I was actually thinking of where Freeman is able to make some completions, one for 20 yards to Mike Williams over the middle, one to Sammy Strotter for 15 yards on the left, then goes over the middle again to Mike Williams for 11 yards. And I believe all three of those were against the blitz where you were able to burn them. You're moving into scoring range. That's what you wanted to see out of the young quarterback and out of the offense.
You started to do some things there, and you set yourself up for some points there, and then, you know, you missed the field goal. And Connor Barth's been phenomenal all year, and we expect him to bounce back and be phenomenal some more. You know, he just had a bad day, an off day. Hopefully, like the Pittsburgh game, you got it all out the way in one day. And hopefully that's what we're able to do and we're able to move on.
You have a new holder with Robert Malone, the new punter. Was everything all right there on the snaps and with those those field goals? Everything okay?
You know, operationally, everything was fine. Everything was good. Everything was what you want. It's just, you know, he missed them. And he won't make excuses for himself, and neither will his coach. And, again, it goes back to this football team being young but being accountable. You know, you didn't have a whole bunch of blame being pointed, a whole bunch of fingers being pointed. There's obvious reasons why we lost that football game yesterday, and we won't ever sway away from those reasons. And as if my coaches, myself included, my players, and everybody involved in the organization can be accountable and hold themselves to a higher standard, that's always a good thing.
Well, again, the Saints get the ball back after the missed field goal, but this time you're able to stop them in your own territory on an interception by Cody Graham. Actually, a ball that Quincy Black, I believe, got his hand on and deflected. You're able to get the turnover and keep them from getting any more points.
Right. We went to a max drop, and Quincy Black has been very good at all this stuff all year and dropping and playing and rushing and doing a bunch of different things for us, and he tips a ball. And, again, Cody Graham comes up with an interception to eliminate those guys from getting points. You know, that could have easily been a missed op for us and provided them with more opportunity to score points. But for us to stop them and hold them there and try to score right there on defense to try to get something to happen, if we could have got a bigger return, you know, maybe you take a couple shots to the end zone. But, you know, in order to avoid the disastrous play on offense with 14 seconds left going into your half, you take a knee smart and you live to fight another day.
There was some youthful exuberance there on his part after the pick because he went to lateral it to Sean Jones. And, you know, there's danger there because if that ball ends up on the ground and they get it right back, they can kick a field goal.
One thing you know about it is there is danger in that play that Cody did. But the one thing he knows his job is, and I preach to those guys every day, is to score, get the ball back. So when he got that ball, he knows he has to try to either set up a score or go score. And we practice it all the time. We're pretty comfortable with it and how we talk about it and how we want to do it. He pitched it to him. It was a perfect pitch right in Sean Jones' hands, and he was trying to run down their sideline and get some more yards so we can have a Josh Freeman type of play like we had in Cincinnati Bengals game when he's able to throw that ball to Spurlock and probably set us up for some points there.
All right, again, 17-0 the score at halftime. We're going to come back, talk the second half. We're also going to talk about the St. Louis Rams before we are done. We'll be taking your phone calls as well. It is the Monday night Raheem Morris Coaches Program here. We've got much more on the way. Thanks for tuning in here on this Monday. We'll be right back on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
The Raheem Morris Show continues on your home for the Buccaneers. 620 WDAE and US 1035. Once again, here are Coach Morris and TJ Reeves.
Frustrating Sunday yesterday as the Saints beat the Bucs in the first of two meetings. We will talk more about the St. Louis Rams later on towards the end of the program. They're the opponent this Sunday at Raymond James Stadium. We will also be taking your phone calls coming up. Jump aboard in Hillsboro at 990-4620, in Pinellas 461-4620, and toll-free wherever you can hear the program, whether you are in the state of Florida or anywhere that you're hearing it on the internet or more. 1-800-596-BUCKS, 1-800-596-2827 to join the coach tonight if you've got questions and comments. We'd love to hear from you. All right, so 17-0. I asked you this question, actually run into the locker room. I appreciate you not running full speed because I never caught you, but you were hustling to get in there. Same scenario as the previous time that you played the Saints when you were down 17-0, and I asked you whether or not you were going to remind your team. You told me right there when we were running in, that's last year, doesn't have anything to do with this year. That was your mindset going to that locker room?
Yeah, there's no doubt. You know, you like to think that your team would pull from last year and what they were able to do, but you got to remember, man, it's a different year, it's a different time. If we were up 17-0 last year and we were up 17-0 this year, it would have nothing to do with the outcome or the result of the game. You know, this is a 60-minute game, and at the halftime, you have 30 more minutes to go, and your team has to come out and put together a nice 30-minute effort, and that's all you got, and that's all you can ride on.
How much were you trying to play a motivator in that locker room there, in addition to, you know, making adjustments and whatnot, pep your team up, talk your team up, down 17-0?
You know, the thing about our football team, they're resilient and they're determined. And we found that out last week in Cincinnati. We found that out in our comeback win from coming from behind versus Cleveland. And we know they're resilient, and we know they're determined. We know they're playmakers. So when you go into that locker room and you just reengage them, and you just bring those things back up, and you just talk about what you need to do to win this second half, those are the things that you talk about. That's how you motivate. That's how you get them going. And our young guys really respond to some of those things.
All right, so they come out to start the second half. And, right, well, first things first, I don't know how much of this that you were able to see, but let's stop for a second and talk about some things beyond just the game itself. There was a very moving tribute going on the video board just before the second half kickoff with Adam Hayward, with this being Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And Adam tragically lost his mom to breast cancer, and he was doing the tribute, and the Buccaneer staff did a great job putting this together, and Adam got choked up a couple of times talking about his mom and what it meant to him to honor her, to wear the pink cleats and breast cancer awareness and more. And so that tribute ends. The second half kicks off. The Saints bobble the ball, and there's number 57 like a missile, almost something like right out of a Hollywood script, just destroying the kick returner at the 8-yard line there. I mean, that was quite a moment for those that were in the stadium that were watching all of that, and there's Adam Hayward making the play on the kickoff return.
Well, we all know, we all love Adam here, and we all think, you know, the world about the young man and what he's going through with his mom. So, you know, Breast Cancer Awareness Month for us means a little bit more in our football team. You know, I'm sure everybody, you know, has their own issue and their own story. But, you know, after our win versus Cincinnati, I went to Adam and told him that was from mom. And he looked at me and smiled and kind of got choked up at that point too. But, you know, we go out and we play hard and we play to win every week. But, you know, Adam had a little extra motivation, I'm sure, going out there on that kickoff and playing like he did and getting that tackle to start us off. You know, he always jokes. And when we're in meetings, at linebackers meeting, he says, "Hey, are we talking about kickoff?" And I go, "No." that's kind of his thing. And I was proud of him to go out there and make that tackle. And that's just a part of our team. You know, being resilient and fighting and not caring what the score is. Those guys could easily lay down yesterday. They didn't.
All right, so the Saints, after that, again, for the third time, were able to get out of their own end. And in this case, again, it's a run that gets them out of jeopardy at their own 8-yard line with Chris Ivory. He's able to get 17 yards. And, you know, they really mixed it up with him and with Breeze, able to make some completions to once again get field position on you.
You know, he did a great job of moving the ball down the field and working himself to a field goal attempt. But, again, speaking about the resiliency of the football team, that field goal rush team is a really a priding factor. And if you're not looking when a team scores on this, how that team rushes, you know, after every field goal or after every PAT, I mean, it's something really prideful for our football team. Now, you like to not see them rush a bunch, but when they have to, it's never quit. It's never a give-up moment. And that speaks a lot about your special teams coach.
Okay, so they missed the field goal, and this is kind of similar to what we saw at the end of the regular season last year where Garrett Hartley missed the game winner, and you eventually won in overtime. He had missed a couple of easy ones earlier this year. He missed one here. seemed like there was some life there at that moment. You take over, you start to make a couple of plays, you get the ball near midfield, and unfortunately one of their guys, I think, puts a hat right on the ball on Cadillac Williams and it comes out of there. What did you see on the tape? Was that the case, helmet on the ball there?
No, it was actually a big meshing pile there, and I believe he got an arm in there and raked it out. You know, it was uncharacteristic for Cadillac, uncharacteristic for our football team, really, to fumble and turn the ball over. We've done a nice job, but, you know, yesterday we had the ball on the ground three times yesterday, and we got back, you know, two and lost the one, and you just can't turn the ball over versus the Saints and give Drew Brees more opportunities.
Well, and unfortunately, they get another touchdown off of that fumble. It's 24-0. You just said something a couple of seconds ago about the resiliency of your team, not giving up. I mean, how concerned now are you at 24-0 with something like that, and what were you saying to your team, if anything, at that point at 24-0 third quarter still?
Yeah, I think I'm at the point now where they know. You know, they know there's no give up. They know that's not even an option. I don't have to say anything to those guys right now. We're at a point right now where I got a bunch of guys, man. They got a lot of pride and going to go out there and fight, and they're going to fight you all the way to the end. And that's what it's about. You know, we've been in this kind of game before. We got outmatched by Pittsburgh on that given day. You know, yesterday on the given day versus New Orleans Saints, they got us. We were outmatched on that given day. The next time we see either one of those two teams again, we want to go out there and give our best effort and not allow us to be outmatched on that given day. And that's the kind of attitude my guys got.
All right, so you started moving the ball down the field after their touchdown with a 24-0. And then there was an interesting play on a 2nd and 5. It looked like you had a completion to Sammy Strotter. They then ruled fumble on the play instead of him being down. You end up challenging, and then here we go with the whole NFL rule on going to the ground, and is it a catch? Is it not a catch? And it ends up being ruled incomplete, which was in the Buccaneers' favor in that instance because you kept possession of the ball. But, you know, you took some time there. There was a timeout, and you took some time to look over the replay and decided to challenge there.
You know, I had a timeout, had a bunch of time there. I got people in the box that do a great job. You know, I'm talking to my officials about what I can challenge, what I want to challenge, to all the different scenarios in that situation. Right there, the ruling could have been either incomplete pass. The ruling could have been either he was tackled and went down and the ground caused the fumble. There's a couple of different things, and I just wanted to make sure the officials know the spot of the ball, where the ball would be if they did rule it a catch and it was down, the down and distance that it would be. It was a couple of different deals I was talking about with the officials, and a couple of different deals I was trying to make sure they understood that I understood what was going on. So when they came back, that the ball would be in the proper area, or we would maintain possession of the ball right there, because there's a lot of things going on in their heads. It's a lot of the game moves fast for everybody, and they do a great job of communicating with me right there. And hopefully, we did a great job of getting that ball back for us.
And
our
it
team.
Was a successful challenge in that instance. We've talked about this rule before. I know you're not on the competition committee, but as a coach in the NFL. There's got to be a closer examination of what is or is not a catch, because even in this instance, it looks like I've seen the television replay a half dozen times. They slowed it down. Sammy Strotter's got the ball. He's got 2 feet down. He eventually goes down and has a knee down as well. And they're so caught up now in the letter of the law on this rule of if he doesn't hold it when he goes to the ground that we're almost nullifying what you do with 2 feet down, a knee down, your butt down, whatever, with possession of the ball, Coach.
You know, I just play by the rules, but I do know you got to maintain possession, you know, through the ground and getting back up with it. So whatever that rule is, I'm just going to coach that at the time. You know, I'm not in the competition committee, not interested in doing that yet. You know, let me get a couple of years under my belt before I start complaining to people. But, you know, right now I just want to play by the rules and make sure that I know the rules to make sure we can have plays like that and be able to review it and communicate in my sideline like that, and one we have coming up later here in a bit too.
All right, so it ends up being that you miss the field goal there, the second miss of the day that you've already addressed. You get the Saints to punt. You get the ball back. There's 12 minutes to go in the game, and you finally start what turns out to be a scoring drive. You get a first down, and then on a scramble by Josh Freeman on a 3rd and 10 after another first down, that's when some controversy started because Malcolm Jenkins of the Saints comes over as Freeman is going to the sideline. And, you know, say what you want, he goes at his legs, whether it was completely intentional, sort of intentional, whatever, he's going right at his legs, and your quarterback stood up for himself, your team stood up for your quarterback, and then suddenly you got officials and flags flying and whistles blowing.
You know, I'm really proud of my football team in that instance. You know, our quarterback, you know, gets a shot, whether you felt it was cheap or whether you didn't, it really doesn't matter. You know, the officials made the call, and that's what we play. You know, I always tell the officials, we're going to play at the tempo you allow us to. So if that was going to be the tempo and that was going to be legal, that's the tempo we're going to step it up to. So that stuff really doesn't matter for us, to, you know, how they call it, complaining about a hit and a guy. And our quarterback jumped up, didn't like it. you know, went to tell a guy about himself, and, you know, the guy threw a punch at him. Their guys reacted. Our guys backed them away. Our guys broke the fight up. Our guys got in their face a little bit and not allowing them to be the intimidators. And they took the penalties, and our guys stayed, remained calm, and we were able to get everybody back to our sideline. And they got hit with two personal fouls there, and we get a big, humongous gain out of that.
Were you surprised? Because I saw the punch, and the punch was right in front of, and there was actually a second punch by Malcolm Jenkins that he threw at Cadillac Williams right there where that whole scrum was going on. Were you surprised that Jenkins stayed in the game? I don't want to put you in any kind of jeopardy, but were you surprised with two punches being thrown that wasn't a hook?
No, not for me. I was more interested in the 30 yards I was about to gain from throwing the two punches rather than him being ejected or anything of that nature. You know, Jenkins is a good kid, man. Actually, he's my cousin.
Really?
Believe it or not. And
did you tell your cousin not to go after your quarterback's legs anymore?
No, I think he's listening to his coach right now. But, you know, I'm going to cut him if I ever see him out.
You just, even in public, you're going to go low on him.
You know, it's one of those things, and it's the temperament of the game. It's where we are. I'm not one of the guys, you know, I'm all about player safety, but I'm not one of the guys actually, you know, sitting here you know, trying to determine, you know, what is egregious and what is not.
Right. No, you're worrying about trying to coach the game. All right, so after that, you get the 30 yards worth of penalties. You move into scoring position. It took a fourth and goal, but Josh Freeman's able to hit Michael Spurlock. You actually tried a couple of different things. You tried a Cadillac Williams playoff tackle. You tried a quarterback draw with Josh Freeman. They were just stuffing what was up the middle. Eventually, you get the touchdown on a fourth down pass.
And we stuck in there, and we kept at it. You know, you like to get there a little bit easier there from the one. You know, we were down a fullback. You know, we stayed with the zebra package, and we actually got the ball in there in the fourth and two. So that was successful there, and as we attempt to go for two.
All right, you're not able to get the two-point conversion, and as most people are aware, the Saints go back down. They get a touchdown. The game ends up 31-6 as the final there. Let's kind of put a wrap on it here in the last 90 seconds or so of this segment. What do you say to your football team after this, when your second loss of the year? You will see the Saints again later on in the season. What did you leave them with?
You know, for us, you know, yesterday after that game, you're talking about coming back here and, you know, having a bounce-back game. The beauty of this game is that you're 3-2 and is 3-2 and is October. You know, and you got a chance to come back and even your record up at home, so you can be 500 at the house. And that's the only thing that really mattered at that point. The Saints are a long way away, and we'll have to go down there and determine our fates at some point. So when we get to the Saints and we cross that path again, hopefully we're playing for something, and hopefully it means something. So that game will be meaningful then. You know, I'm not going to carry that game on my sleeve and let it bother us for the rest of the season and become one of those games that just ruins what you got going on positive, because we got too many positive things going on. But what I do want to do is I want to get in the laboratory, look at it, you know, be critical of ourselves as coaches, be critical of ourselves as players, and get ready to go out here and play the St. Louis Rams at our place in order to even our record at home.
All right, speaking of getting in the laboratory and correcting a couple of things, everybody's going to talk about, until you play your next game with St. Louis, getting the running game on track. Again, you've had now the opportunity for about 24 hours to digest what went on yesterday, to look at the tape. What do you want to say about the running game and how you get that going on a consistent basis?
You know, these meetings, you know, will continue throughout the night. You know, we got a couple meetings set up here this afternoon. You know, myself, my offensive staff, we'll sit around. We'll talk about what we need to do and what we think, how we want to attack it this week. And we'll leave it at that. We'll come out next week with a plan, and we'll come out ready to play. And we'll definitely evaluate everything that's involved.
I know that you've got some injuries now at running back as well. Kareem Huggins, you gave the update earlier in the day with a torn knee ligament. Looks like it's going to end his 2010. Ernest Graham also suffered a hamstring injury in the first half of the game and did not return. So that also factors into the discussion of what you're doing with your running attack, because now you lost those two guys during the game yesterday and you've got some question marks moving forward.
You know, unfortunately, we really hadn't had Kareem Huggins all year. You know, he had the groin early and he kind of set out and then he came back, and as soon as he gets back, like, something like this happens, and it's unfortunate for the young man, because how hard he works in the offseason, how hard he's worked to make this team and be in position to put himself that he's in now. So now we got to go to the next man, and you got to go with LeGarrette Blount, you got to go with Lumpkin, and you got to get those guys ready to go. You got to get those guys with some steam, get them to practice along with Caddy, and here we go, man, going back to attack it.
So some questions came up earlier today at your news conference about why you did not have another running back active, and I want you to explain, you know, some of your thought process, because
sure,
you had to go through, who do I activate, who do I sit? Go ahead.
You know, every week you got to go through who's active on your roster and who's not. And this week, we only had two running backs active because of the Mike Williams injury during the week. You know, he sat out most of the practice week this week, and he was not able to go. It was a little bit of a limp involved with himself, and in order to make sure your team doesn't get bare You know, before it was something that you do know is going to happen, like a possible twisting of Mike's ankle in the game and him having to come out. You put the extra receiver up. Now, when the unknown occurs, you know, when you get an unfortunate injury like you got to Kareem Huggins, you certainly like to go back and second-guess yourself and wish you had that extra running back up to provide you some depth there. But, again, you know, I don't have any crystal balls to know when that stuff's going to happen. So we got to go out there and make the best decision that we think we got to make at that time.
All right. We will pause here again. We're going to come back and take your phone calls. Go ahead at 990-4620 in Hillsboro, 461-4620 in Pinellas. Toll-free wherever you can hear the show outside of the Tampa St. Pete Clearwater area at 1-800-596-BUCKS. We will talk St. Louis Rams before we're done as well. More with the coach. Stay with us here on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Back in on this Monday night with the coach. Again, we'll be talking St. Louis Rams before we're done. By the way, Buccaneers Total Access coming up after we're done with Dave Moore and Geno Hayes. So stand by for that at the top of the hour. And before we get to the phone calls, again, for a lot of people that are getting into their car at 5:30 as we do this show live on Monday night, they have not heard the beginning of the program. Give me an overall thought as we put the Saints thing to bed, go move forward now and get ready to play the Rams for those that didn't hear you at the beginning of the show. Go ahead.
You know, Saints, it was a tough day yesterday. And it's one of those days where you got to find out how resilient and how determined your team is to bounce back. And they've done it before. They had to test this year. They went to Pittsburgh and we had to sit out a week. You know, luckily this week we don't have to do that. We can get right back out there on Sunday and go out there and prove what we can be and how we want to do it, you know, to ourselves and with our fans and with everybody else involved.
Now, you said to me yesterday after the game, I wish we could go out there and play another game right now. It was that kind of angst for you yesterday about 5 o'clock, right?
You know, it's always like that. You know, like I told you at the beginning of the show, I said, you know, I take a lot of credit for, you know, what we were not able to do yesterday and as far as a defensive standpoint and some of the things that we did. So my deal or responsibility, however you want to put that, but my deal is I want to go back out and compete, and I know these guys do as well, and that's why we'll bounce back, and I know we will.
That's the right attitude to have to get better. All right, we go to the phones again, 990 in Hillsboro, 4620, 461-4620 in Pinellas, and toll-free wherever you can hear us, 1-800-596-BUCKS, 1-800-596-2827. Lee starts us off in Los Angeles. Hello, Lee. Good evening. You're on with the coach.
Hey, it's Ali from Los Angeles.
Ali.
I called last week.
Yes, sir.
I'm about to say that again. How you doing, Lee? What's going on, man?
I just had a couple of questions, man. It was a tough loss to swallow yesterday, man. I had trouble sleeping last night. But
You had trouble?
Yes, I did. But I looked at the stats this morning, man, and I seen that we have Kellen Winslow with 24 catches, Mike Williams with 23, and then it's a big drop-off with our second receivers. I think Sammy Spurlock and Regis got about 26 total, only three less than Mike Williams. Do you think we need to, to get more production out of our wide slot receiver?
You know, Sammy's been the starter throughout the season, and he's been out there, and he's been doing a pretty good job, and we got to find better ways to get him the football. So you can put it on Sammy, myself, my coaching staff, a bunch of different people. The other guy really is just starting to come on and actually go out there and play some more snaps for us and really starting to do some different things. You know, seeing that last week versus Cincinnati got, you know, the majority of his catches, and we are playing with a bunch of young guys. If you look at, you know, rookie receivers across the league, I believe Mike Williams is still number one in the catching category there. And then, you know, really, we got a bunch of young players. Sammy's in his second year. Really is in his first year. And then after that, Parker was able to get a helmet on yesterday because sometimes we go with four wideouts. And he was able to go up yesterday because the potential of Mike Williams potentially being out. And that's where we are on game day right now. And Spurlock comes in on Zebra for us, and he's been making some big catches for us, but he hasn't been a focal target or a big-time point for us. You know, when you look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you got to view Mike Williams as our X, and he's one of our go-to guys. And then you got to look at Kellen Winslow, who's another one of our go-to guys, whether he's catching the ball, you know, or whatever he's going to do for us. And then after that, the next guy's got to get in where he fits in, and we'll find ways to get these guys more involved, and we'll find ways to get more people going.
Ali, thanks. We appreciate the phone call. Scott is in Brandon. You're on with the head coach. Hello, Scott.
Hey, Coach. I want to preface these comments by saying I think both you and the team have showed some significant growth this year, and I appreciate it, but I do have some tough questions to ask.
Sure, go ahead, man. You got to.
You know, look, three of the four keys to winning in the NFL, in my opinion, are running the ball, stopping the run, and rushing the passer, the fourth being turnovers. And in all three of those categories, the team has shown some significant deficiencies. As far as the ability to stop the run, even going back to Gruden, it seems like we've always been vulnerable to right up the middle, right up the gut. And one of my questions is, how much of that is personnel and how much of that is our scheme? And as far as running the ball, you know, for years we felt that the offensive line was the strength of this team. And I realize that Jeff Fain is out, but even when he was in there, we have not been consistently able to run the ball. And I think Josh's performance and the fact that we've been able to create turnovers have kind of masked that a little bit, if you will. But these are significant concerns that I have about this football team. And one last thing, I think taking McCoy and putting him on end in passing situations, in my own opinion, I think you're asking a rookie to do too much. So I'd like to hear some comments from you on that, and I'm going to hang up and listen. Thank you.
No problem, right, Scott. Yeah, that's not; those aren't tough questions. Those are reality, Scott. That's what you deal with in this business, buddy. You got to go out there. You got to be ready to deal with all these questions. But, you know, not stopping the run is a simple formula. You're exactly right. What your formula is to win the football game. You got to stop the run. You got to be able to run the ball. You got to get turnovers. And it's all those things you just talked about. And we have not been able to stop the run versus some teams. You know, the last three teams in particular, they've been able to rush the ball over 100 yards. But, you know, Cincinnati was a little more game plan. Yesterday was not as much. They were able to get some plays on us, and we got to go out there and do it. We are not even close, in my opinion, or as an organization, to being a finished product, and we don't want to mask that by telling you that we are and that we're going to go out there and stuff the run. And you're exactly right. I talk about it all the time. You know, even in the glory years, in 02, 03, 04, we always had issues with stopping the run due to it being a shutdown run defense. And we were always a little bit vulnerable. We did bend but didn't break in some situations, and we got to get back to finding a way to be that first before we could become this great dominant defense. I kind of talked with those guys about that today, and they understand and we understand we got to go out there and get better when you're talking about stopping the run. And as far as rushing the passer, we absolutely got to get better. We don't put McCoy at end. I mean, he's actually playing tackle, so I think you got some bad information on that deal. But and then when you're talking about running the football, you're talking about our upfront people. You're talking about our backs. You're talking about everything we're doing. It's a little bit of everything. And that's a job on us to go out and evaluate what's going on. The one thing I do know about our offensive line right now that they're doing great is they're not getting your quarterback hit. And so they do deserve some credit for that. And we will never, ever make an excuse for not having a player, whether it's Jeff Fain or whether whoever it was. You know, I know Zutai went in there and played exceptional football for him yesterday in the position and some of the calls he made and some of the plays he made in order to protect Free. And I know Donald Penn is really playing grade A ball right now, and we got to find a way as a coaching staff and as players and as an organization and as fans to go out and run the ball, and we really got to go do that. And I just think us binding together and us not pointing fingers at one in particular person or five in particular people, that's not the answer. You go out and you find a way. In the offseason, then you sit around and you evaluate yourself and you point fingers. Right now, it's go out there and get it done. Because nobody cares.
Hey, and that's well said there on that point. Nobody's got any sympathy. Go figure out a way to fix it. But one thing that's interesting, on the TV broadcast, Tim Ryan doing the game for Fox pointed out a couple of times, from the defensive scheme standpoint, he pointed out a couple of times, here is a guy that is out of position to make the play as the free hitter or the guy that's going to come free. And if he is out of position, that's where there's suddenly an alley and a running lane. How much did you see on the tape where a guy maybe left his lane or got sucked in and that opened up a lane? Were guys out of position more than what you would like to see, more than normal, let's say, on Sunday?
Well, what happens in a game, and when you watch it from a fan perspective, you watch it from a TV perspective and not the coach's tape, you miss why a guy's out of position. You know, sometimes either a D lineman gets cut and he's on the ground and it makes it look like that guy that's coming down from his entry is out of position, but he may not necessarily be. And sometimes those guys are out of position. So it's a little bit of both, and it's a little bit of all that. And the other reason, which we always talk about around here, is we're being a little too much yield signs, you know. And what I mean by that is we're in our gaps, we're in the right spot, and now we're looking to see who's supposed to be in that gap rather than shedding the block and making the tackle. We got to go out and be better shed tacklers up front, at linebacker, and in the secondary.
So instead of a yield sign, a roadblock, if you will, you're not getting by me.
Right. You know, right now I got a bunch of young guys, and they're really concerned about being wrong. And I got to tell those guys, you know, don't be afraid to achieve. and go out there and be your best self. You know, Gerald McCoy, he can take some of the reins off of him a little bit. Yeah, I know what to do. That's great. Now go out there and shed this guard and make this tackle in somebody else's gap, because you can do that too. It's not illegal.
We go to Sam and Brandon. He is next with Raheem Morris on this Monday. Hello, Sam.
Hey, how we doing, gentlemen?
Doing well. How you doing, Sam?
I'm doing well. Thanks for asking. Thanks for taking my call, Coach. Well, look, first, man, before I ask my question, I want to congratulate you guys on the start that you're off to. I think you are making some good progress. You know,
that's hard to accept today, Sam, but I appreciate it.
You know what? It is hard to accept, but here's the one thing. When you take a loss like Pittsburgh, you take a loss like New Orleans, both of them are much better teams, have a lot more experience as far as players go. So it's a lot that you can pull out of that game to learn, to help in the growth process that
there's no doubt about it.
You know, that we're going through. Now, my question to you, Coach, last year as a first-year coach, moving over from a coordinator straight to a head coach, the game was probably going 100 miles an hour for you on the sideline. How have you been able to slow the game down this year to see more of the game and do a better coaching job?
You know, that's a great question, Sam. You know, for me, the game was always a little bit slower than probably it would have been if I wasn't a secondary coach. You know, when you coach a secondary, you really got to slow the game down for yourself. You got to be able to recognize formation. You got to be able to recognize everything. It's kind of, I think it's the old saying going, when you watch the game from the back end. And I've always watched the game from the back end, so it's always been a little bit slower. In my earlier years, you know, being in the box for Monty Kiffin, I was the only man up there on defense, and I was expected to do a lot of things and expected to know a lot of information and expected to deliver it to our coaches so they can deliver it to our players and then, therefore, go out and execute. So the game has always been a little bit slower when it comes to some of those things for me, and it's helped me, you know, advance a little bit faster than probably a lot of people thought we should. But the thing about it is, the thing that makes me better right now is being able to dictate a game through a defensive philosophy. Now, I was not able to do that yesterday, and sometimes those things happen, and sometimes you kind of get out of whack. You need somewhere else or some area to help you or to get you going a little bit faster. You know, yesterday, you know, we needed a little spark from the special teams, or we needed a spark from our offense to get our defense going, and those things didn't happen yesterday. But for the most part, throughout the season, we've gotten that spark, whether it's been from defense, whether it's been from offense, whether it's been from special teams. Somebody has taken us over the top to put the team aspect back into it. You know, you can go back and look at, you know, stats, and you can down people and you can turn away people, but, you know, everybody's just made a big play on this football team in order to get us over the hump. You know, in Carolina, we had a pass rush. We got sacks that day. We won that football game. The next time we came out versus Cincinnati, we got a pick for six. We won that football. Josh Freeman made a couple big-time plays down the stretch. We won that football game. Versus, you know, the Cleveland Browns, we came out. We had to stop the run. We actually went out there and had to bow up, and they rushed for 40 yards, and I watched Peyton Hillis go rush for 100 yards against everybody else he's played against. And we did those things as a team in order to win. And it's just complimentary football from our guys.
Hey, one thing, as much insight as you want to give us, this is why we love getting to sit with you on Monday nights. Because you are down on the field as the defensive coordinator without revealing what all goes into the game plan and whatnot, you've got somebody up there looking at formations and whatnot. What specifically are you looking for on the fly to help you make adjustments on your defensive play calls, since you're not up high and you're having to rely on somebody else to see it? What are you curious about early on in the game and whatnot? Give me a couple things.
You know, for the most part, you know, you want to know the personnel is a major part for us. You know, getting the personnel so we can get the proper people out there. You know, the Saints in particular do a great job with up-tempo offense and an upbeat deal and starting fast and doing all those things. They're probably the best in the NFL, you know, at least the best that we play. The other thing you want from those guys after a series is over is, you know, give me the rundown of the series and what happened. What plays hurt us and how can we fix them and not allow the same play to hurt us? You know, you won't see the same play repeatedly hurt us over and over again because we do a great job on the sideline of correcting it. Now, yesterday we had a numerous amount of plays that hurt us, so you've seen a couple of things that come out and bite us. You know, I talked about it, you know, I'm well documented here saying I'll take responsibility for the check that we missed. And the check that we missed, we were able to communicate, we were able to talk about, it came up at the end of the game, we made the check, we were clear, we were precise, we were detailed. You just got to eliminate those things before you get into the game and make it that way right from the beginning. So make no mistakes about it. The guys that I have on my staff, they do a great job of relaying situations and stuff to me. They do a great job of giving me great information in order to get the plays out that I need.
Very well. Back to the phones. We've got time for a couple more. Here is Tony in Clearwater on with head coach Raheem Morris. Hello, Tony.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, Tony. How you doing, man?
All right. Great, Coach. My question concerns the running back position. I love Cadillac, but I think for the last two or three years, we've been missing a premier running back. Someone of a Warwick Dunn type, someone that can hit the hole, get us 10, 15, 20, 30 yards, somewhat similar to a Marshall Faulk. What is there anything in the draft that's coming, or
you make a great point, Tony. You need a guy that can go out there and make some yards for himself. You named two really good ones, and I wouldn't mind having those guys in their heyday playing for us as well. But for me right now, my team is my team. This is my guys. You know, the draft. I got guys, preparing for the draft and getting ready for the draft, and our management team is doing that. And Mark Dominic has his scouts out there looking on the road, and when it's time to get better, we'll look to get better and we'll look to improve. Right now, we got guys in our football team that's got to go out there and get better and find a way. Nobody cares about the guy not being here. Nobody cares about you complaining about not having a certain guy. It's my job to go find a way to make sure that we can run the ball better, and I will do that.
Well, Coach, I'm a true Buccaneer fan, and I'd be willing to come out there and run for my life on Sunday.
How old are you there, Tony?
I'm 40.
What's your 40 time?
I got a pot belly, and I'm ready to go.
I like it. Hey, let me tell you something. I can get you on the minimum wage here, and we'll get you going.
Okay.
I'd run for free, Coach.
I like it.
All right, Tony. Hey, let me say this, and I'm going to say it over and over and over again. I saw two or three plays again on the tape where there's a hole there and Cadillac Williams rockets through the hole. Or there's a swing pass to Cadillac Williams in the fourth quarter. He's got a defender even with him, and he blew right by the guy and got 17 yards. I'm not a coach, but Cadillac Williams is still hitting holes and still making plays when he's got space and got room from where I sit and from what I see.
And when you look at it from a coach's standpoint, Cadillac Williams is a fine football player. What you don't see is the stuff that he does on third down for us, and what you don't see when you get penalty called back and you don't get that in the stat sheet. We got to find a way to be better as a football team. This is not about one in a particular person. Cadillac Williams definitely needs somebody to run with him. There's no doubt about that. We got to find somebody else to be able to tote the ball with him. But what Cadillac Williams does for us on third down in particular, it's phenomenal. There's not a more willing back in the National Football League that's going to put his face in between any linebacker that comes up through that hole and try to split him like a Cadillac Williams.
I'll tell you a quick story, and this goes all the way back to Cadillac's rookie year in 2005. I was sitting in John Gruden's office, and to your point about what fans often don't see, he said, let me show you something before we were doing a pregame interview, and he put a coach's tape play in against Carolina, which was about Cadillac's second or third game that 05 season. And he said, watch this. Thomas Davis of the Panthers is about to blitz right up the middle, and watch what Cadillac does to him. And Cadillac destroys Thomas Davis picking up the blitz. And Gruden looked at that and said he will play for 10 years or more in the league because of that right there.
Gruden
because
was right.
He can protect the quarterback against the blitz.
He was right. I look at that tape every week, and one of my biggest concerns, even though I'm not involved in every play call of the offense, but one of my biggest concerns is always, how are we protecting Josh? How is Josh doing out there? Is he protected? Looking at I don't watch the routes down the field. I watch to make sure number five is being protected and we have a good grasp on who's being protected, and we always are. We have a couple guys come free this year. I can count it probably on one hand, how many guys came free, how many guys tricked us, or whatever the case may be. Now, have we been beat physically before? Yes, but those are the ones you can deal with because it's not a schematical issue. But when you see Cadillac stepping in the hole against any backer, I don't care really who it's been. He's delivered for us.
And that, again, a lot of times goes unseen and uncredited, and it's all part of playing the game. All right, quickly, Demetrius in St. Pete. We got about 30 seconds, Demetrius, to take another call. Hello there, sir. Good evening.
Hey, TJ. Hey, Coach. How you doing?
Hey, Demetrius. How you doing, man?
Great. I'm the guy that yelled at you and asked you, was Mike Williams playing yesterday? And you said, yeah, he's playing.
Was that you in the stands yesterday?
Yeah.
That's a great – I'm fan engaging. You see that? So don't you come give me no hard questions now.
Well, actually, it's not a hard question.
Go ahead.
Adam Hayward, he's your monster. I see him coming down, and everybody talks about Barrett Rule going backwards during the run game. Have you considered – I know he backs up Barrett in the mic, and I know he backs up a little bit Geno. Have you considered giving Adam more playing time? I'll hang up and listen.
Demetrius, Adam, Hayward is a very valuable football player for us because he knows Mike, he knows Will, and he knows Sam. And he is also he's able to go in there at any play. And again, to point fingers at one guy or anybody about what's going on with our run defense, it's not fair. You know, you don't get 158 yards because one guy's out there. You know, one guy's not going to make that much of a difference. We got to play better as a unit. We got to play better as a core. We got to play better as just all hands on deck. You know, Barrett, what he did yesterday, he had a really productive game, actually. You know, he led us with tackles, I believe, second or something like that. And he went out there, five tackles. He had a plastic, big-time pass deflection in the back of the end zone. To get us lined up versus the New Orleans Saints is a task in itself. And to get those guys in position to make plays is what he's supposed to do. But, you know, Adam, if he keeps playing like he is on special teams, you know, I love to find roles for those type of guys. He had a package yesterday where he was able to come in the game and play for us on defense a little bit, and he went out there for a couple snaps yesterday. So we look forward to ascending young players, and he's one of them.
All right, very well. We will pause here. We're going to spend our remaining moments talking St. Louis Rams, who will be at Raymond James Stadium Sunday, 1 o'clock. Stay with us. More with the coach in a moment on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
The Rahim Morris Show on your home for the Buccaneers, 620 WDAE and US 103.5. Once again, Buccaneers head coach Rahim Morris and your host TJ Reeves.
And we remind you that just after we're done, Buccaneers Total Access, Dave Moore and Geno Hayes will be coming up right after we have concluded on this Monday. All right, St. Louis Rams will come in off of a victory over the San Diego Chargers. Three wins already for them this season. They went to the rookie quarterback Sam Bradford right off the bat at the beginning of the season. Steven Jackson in the backfield, and the Rams have had some early success in 2010. Elaborate on what you've seen out of them so far.
You know, the beautiful thing about the league is you get a chance to go back and get great tests. And here goes another one. You know, Sam Bradford's a young upstart quarterback. I'm just going to come in and play really well. Steven Jackson, you know, arguably could be the best back in the league. And we'll get a chance to test our run defense for all our fans at our house again. And we could determine how this radio show plays out next week. And when I see Geno Hayes walking here and I see all my guys leave out of the building, they're optimistic. They got faith in me. I got faith in them. And we can't wait to go attack it. And we had a nice meeting today on defense side of the ball. And these guys, they love football. And they love to do what we do. And they're very prideful humans. And the thing about it is they're all babies and young. And so I can trick them to doing whatever I want them to do. And that's what I'll do this week when we go out there to stop this team.
Well, part of it is Geno's kind of in the room off mic here about 15 feet away. If you're talking about tricking them, the trick doesn't work if they're around to hear it. We got to be a little more covert than that if we're tricking them, don't we?
I think Geno's one of those guys who's sharp enough to know that I'm tricking them every single week. You know, and we're about W's. And our only job this week is to go out and try to search for a W.
Say something about Bradford in particular, because he's a rookie out of Oklahoma, big. He had some shoulder problems at the end of his college career, but he's come out and thrown. He threw the ball over 50 times in one game. They've had some banged up receivers, but he threw it a lot against San Diego, too.
You know, the beautiful thing about Sam Bradford is we studied him a lot coming out of school. You know, when myself and Mark Dominic, we were appointed as head coach and GM of the job. You know, I told him right away that one of my major focuses was trying to find a franchise quarterback. And we had to look at that class, and that was the Josh Freeman, Sanchez, Stafford class. And we also looked at the next year's class, the Tebows, the Sam Bradford, and all those type of guys. And we did an evaluation of all of them, when we were going to try to make an opportunity to go stab for one. And you know, we got free, so we're pretty happy. But I know he's a young, dynamic quarterback on the rise.
Got to be ready to go. Got 20 seconds. Say something to the Buck fans as you come back home with a chance to be 4-2 real quick.
You know, we'll bounce back, and I just want you guys to know that. You guys keep believing, and we'll keep going out there playing hard for you. You know, these things happen to young football teams. We'll never make excuses. We'll always shoot you with straight forward facts, and we'll be ready to go back and play.
Coach, thank you. We appreciate you sitting with us. There's the head coach, Rahim Morris, here on this Monday night. My thanks to Jeff Ryan, Jerry Petuck for helping me out here tonight. Again, Total Access coming up after we're done. Bucks and Rams, Sunday, 1 o'clock. We're on the air at noon on the network with the pregame. We'll be back next Monday night with the head coach on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Good night.
You've been listening to the Rahim Morris Show on 620 WDAE and US 103.5, the home of Buccaneers football.